Making me feel like a real preacher getting the Old Testament in Leviticus. Leviticus 16, 3 through 16. Reading from the scripture. Well, this is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragment incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. For he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites. Whatever their sins have been, he is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now there's more about what happens on the Day of Atonement. In a way, for that alone, we should thank Christ for what he's done for us. Otherwise, there's a whole lot of linen stuff that needs to be cleaned. The goat industry might be appreciative because there'll be more goats killed, but thank God we don't have to do that. Now, there's a tremendous amount in these verses, but we're just going to look at a specific portion on the scapegoat to try to understand that. We might think, well, what's that do? You know, we want, you know, or understand perhaps the sacrifice, the blood needed for the burnt offering. We seem to understand that. Because why? It coincides with the passion and love of Christ for us, what he did for us. So we can perhaps resonate with that a little bit easier. Okay, I understand that. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So why this scapegoat thing? Well, there would be a variety of conclusions for this. And I'll give you one to sort of think about and consider. The first goat dies, as we said, to represent Christ's death. The second is the living Christ, the resurrection. That's what it represents, Christ arising and going forward, still carrying all of those things. So we don't have to carry it. All right? Now, we sometimes think, oh, well, I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put something on somebody else. Ah, my friend. Really? Is that true? I'll give you some experience. Gene and I, walking the streets of Ramallah in our early days of being volunteers there, and we come into a shop. And lo and behold, we get hammered for a long time because of U.S. policies and things that are going wrong and what the president has made mistakenly in his observations, and on and on and on. And then finally, when this tirade is over, well, it's so good to have you. Would you, what would you like? I was starting to understand the scapegoat thing. Since the real wasn't there, I was going to carry it. I'm going to take it. And the thing was, at first we were kind of personalizing it, thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do to solve the budget? And what are we going to... Nothing. Nothing. It had nothing to do with us. Basically, we were innocent. We were affiliated. Sometimes in our speaking, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but in walking around, some people thought we were Canadians. We thought, okay. All right. But for that period of time, we were sort of the scapegoats, or we were carrying the burden of the United States. So we do that. Maybe more on a personal level. Sometimes things are difficult during a day, perhaps at work, other things. Not that I condone this, but some people kick their dog when they get home, right? Or they slam a door, or they do something to something else. Because, number one, you don't do that to your boss, but you want to get rid of it. You want to get rid of whatever emotion and angst you have in yourself, and you want to get it out. And so you place it on something else. Now, some of you are better in psychology than I, but is this displacement? Is this projection? Is this transference? I don't know. Could be. Could be all those things, but it is scapegoating for sure, where we take something here, a burden, and we put it on somebody else. And I've done that. On the lighter side, we've done it since childhood. Haven't you watched, or more specifically read in your comic book section, comic strips, The Family Circus? Who broke this glass? Not me. Or, I don't know. You see those little figurines in your mind? Those carry the burden now. Albeit, you know, sometimes with my sister and I, if there are just two of us in the room, and mom comes in, who broke this? We both can't say, not me. She always figured that out. She's a very smart woman. So wherever this lies, we can kind of grab a hold of this. In ministry and counsel and in talking and thinking about things, and that's why, Joe, I really appreciated your leading. We have a great opportunity to prepare this body for the coming of new leadership. But really, it's a good blessing. You know, it's not too quick. Got some time to think about it. Got some time to get over things. And that's where I think I can be a potential help again. In the past, for some of you, there has been perhaps a pastor that has done something disagreeable to you, or most, more specifically, might have sinned against the gospel. Now, these individuals, if perhaps you read your newsletter, were like us. You know, it was a chapter in a book. It was a time past. And so if you think in the past of these difficult events, I want to encourage you to think of all the good events. Think of all the blessings that came out of these individuals. How is it that good and bad can come out of the same? I don't know. Talk to your tongue. How is it that good and bad can come out of the same thing? Because we are human. Because we do not necessarily have the little devil and little angel on our shoulder. You know, I always loved that when I was a kid watching those things. But we do have a carnal nature. And we do have a nature that is moving toward God. So, what I tried to work on is that why not let me represent a pastor that maybe you've had difficulty with? And you can say, but Arlen, you're innocent of that. Yeah. I'm guilty of a lot of other things, but I'm innocent of that. Just this is a thing that you can place. And I will take it. More importantly, I will take it from here. Now, New Providence isn't a desert, but it is away from here. All right? We can, and again, taking some psychology classes, know that if someone is having difficulty, they can even sit before an empty chair and share. And again, is that projection? Is that transference? Whatever. I don't know. But it works. Because sometimes that individual that has wronged you or that individual that has caused distress in your life is not available. And so we set a chair there. And sitting with the Quakerdale youth and having him share his heart with the chair, great privilege for me. Because he finally got to unload. And once it was unloaded, it was a burden lifted. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here, is to lift the burdens. Because if we don't lift the burden's still here, and the next person that will be in this leadership position, you go, oh yeah, I remember a pastor once. It wasn't him. And there's a good chance he wasn't even alive when you had the problem. And you might say, well, I wouldn't have anything so petty in my life. I wouldn't think such things. Check yourself. If you've got a belly button, you're a human being, and you have a chance at holding grudges and things within you. It's a very real thing. And so we can cast those on someone. And whether you need to picture in your mind that person or persons, that's fine. How to do it, at least what I've come up with, and perhaps you in your own creativity can think of something else, but I'd be willing to sit in the chair sometime, come to your house, or do it here at church, or something like that. Because that way, it could be projected on me who's going to leave, instead of being on the person that's going to stay and wonder, what did I do? What did I possibly do? I've only been here 3 months. What did I do? So, that would be one way. And that would be time well spent. I think ministering counsel is, if that happens, it's time well spent. If you wouldn't do that, you could write it on a piece of paper and send it to me. Put it in my box. Probably best thing, send it to me. And you could write on it, I want you to read this, or you can write on it, I don't want you to read it. I don't have to read it. You just have to get rid of it. I just have to carry it away. And after August 7th, I will take all of those notes, whether I've read them or not, and I will take them away from this place, and I won't tell you where, but I'm going to take them and I'm going to burn them. Now, does that mean everything is all right, hunky-dory, we're going to move along a rosy path? No, again, I think we're still dealing with human beings here, but we are going to try to leave the past in the past. That chapter is done. Remember the good. Looking at Scripture, it always says, remember the good. Because if I look at my own life, I can dredge up a lot of stuff. But I can also glory in all the blessings that were around me and somehow came through me. A vessel like me, God still worked through. And I am just like you, and you are just like me. So we're hoping to allow this next chapter, this next phase, this next portion in your lives to start afresh. We're just going to try to clean things out a little bit. And like I said, some people say, well, I'm above that, I wouldn't do that. Well, no, you wouldn't, but would your carnal side do that? I know mine would. If I get upset sometime, I'm looking for somebody else besides me to be responsible to put it upon. So, hopefully, I'm going to review that one more time and not beat it into your brains to make you think, oh, what a drudgery. But I'm going to be the scapegoat. I'm going to represent difficulties of the past. You may personally share those with me. You may write them on a piece of paper, and you may designate whether you want me to read them or not. But we're going to gather that, and after the service, August 7th, we're going to take that away. And we're going to take it away not just to lighten the burden, but also to ease the road of the next person. Because that family is filled with God's love, and they need to know that this body is a foundation that they can stand in. So, kind of a, you know, heavier thing or whatnot, but by golly, we got to do it. So, let's do that with God's blessings, and God's going to be with us. So, Mike, if you would lead us in the final hymn this morning.